that everybody in here has been in. The Apostle Paul was in a storm like that. And he told they were going on a journey, and not a journey, but he was taken prisoner. And you know the story, and as they were going along, they got some bad weather in the ocean, and it became very difficult. And at some point in time, Paul went to the pilot of the ship, said, I perceive that this journey is going to be difficult. We're going to get into rough seas. And the guy didn't listen to Paul. And because he didn't listen to, surely they ended up in a big storm to the point to where they had to throw off the tackle, which is, the tackle is everything that, you know, gives the ability for the ship to be able to steer. And they gave into the storm. So the storm was just going to take them wherever it was going to throw them at. And so, but Paul heard from the Lord and told them that no life's going to be lost on this storm, in this specific storm. And so you might be that one that goes to that individual that tells them it's going to be okay. There's not going to be any loss here, but just the loss of the ship. And so many times that when that ship broke up and we get in situations where everything seems to be falling apart, and the only thing, you know, we're putting all of our investment into this one ship, and that ship got broken apart in that storm, and they came to shore on the pieces of the ship. And that's what happens sometimes on this planet, on this earth, in our lives, in the situations that we're in. Businesses, things like that that we're involved in, that's a storm. But that storm never would have affected them if they had listened to Paul. And sometimes people won't listen to you, but you still got to deliver the word. And even though those people were disobedient and they didn't listen to Paul, they still survived that storm as well. And so I just would ask you, I would submit to you that God has been speaking to your heart to help somebody get to the shore on the broken pieces of their storm. You know, because especially in our country, and it's, our country is so involved in economy, in our business, and all those things. And that's not that they're not important. It's not that we don't need to have those things, because you can do things when there's economy is good. You can do things when you have an abundance. You can help people when you have an abundance. But when you've got the treasures of Jesus Christ inside of you, you have an unbelievable amount of wealth and power. Amen. In the Spirit. And we have gotten to the place the church has where they, you know, seeking God for things that we already possess. It's more of a situation of how do I release what I have inside of me. You know, it's almost like, you know, you're a billionaire, but don't know how to write a check on it. And so our perceptions have got to change, because instead of trying to pray for a good economy and pray for this and pray for that, we need to be seeking the Lord on how to release that which He's already placed within us. And so storms, many times they bring these things out. And there was another storm, and that was Jonah's storm. And Jonah Paul was one that was in the will of God. And Jonah was one that was not in the will of God. He was running from the will of God, running from the presence of God. How funny is that? So he gets and does his cruise, and he gets in the fish, and then he gets to his destination. But then you have that other storm that Jesus was in, and Jesus was the will of God. And here's where I want to get with this, what believes in my spirit, is that when Jesus' storm was unique in the sense because He was the will of God. He's trained His disciples. He gets into the ship. He says, let you and me go over the other side. And it didn't matter what came about on that storm, because the word of the Lord went, and because He was the will of God, anything could have come. Because it was a spoken word of God, it had to happen. And He says that to us, you know, when we get born again, or we have that first encounter with Jesus, says, let you and me go over to the other side. And now we're in life. And the storms of life come our way. And you know, He was all about always developing His disciples. He was all about duplicating Himself and His disciples. And of course, you know, they saw the miracles, they tasted, they were in all the meetings, they saw the greatest speaker that was ever, Jesus speaking, imparting into them. They saw the healings, they saw the deliverances, they saw all that stuff, and they were so excited, and now they're going to get on this ship, and they're going to the other side. And as soon as the storm came down, as soon as the storm became to the point of something they could not handle in the natural, they began to panic, as you know. And when they panicked, they began to cry out, and it woke up Jesus and said, "Jesus, man, don't you care about the fact that we're in this storm right now?" And instead of him sitting there and saying, "Oh, it's going to be okay," he just sat there and he just kept kneeling. He says, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" You know, it's like, Abraham feels like the Lord just poking into your chest. Where's your faith? Wake up. Where's your faith? Exercise what I've been imparting into you. And Jesus got up and he rebuked. It says he rebuked. You can't rebuke winds and waves. He rebuked what was behind it. And so you and I are being harassed and attacked. If we're in the will of God, we're going to encounter these storms. But the difference about Jesus' storm is that he had the ability to stop it by the power of God. And you have those abilities within you. And it's more than just getting up in words. It's not something that we a lot of times we have these, I call religious gymnastics and reflexes, where certain circumstances hit us and we immediately start, "I'll rebuke you in the name of Jesus," and you just start, that language comes out of us because that's what we've been taught, and nothing happens. And what do you do? What do you do when nothing happens and you're taking this? "Oh, Lord, you know, you taught me this, and I'm rebuking this." You see, the thing about Jesus is when he stopped the storm, what was happening is he was exercising that which was within him. He was at peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And that's why our relationship with the Lord in these days, in these hours, because the world is undergoing a shaking such as never before. It may look like things are going to get a lot better, but what things are really going to get better in a fallen planet? Not much. And so we got to make sure that we keep our hit the target and keep our eyes focused in on the Lord. Because the relationship that you and I have with the Lord and the days that we spend them and the hours that we put in, it's not one of those things that just is going to happen just like that. Because it's all of a sudden when you fall in love with somebody, you don't just fall in love and walk away and come back and walk away and come back and walk away. No, you spend time with them to get to know them, to get to know them intimately and to find out what they're all about. What are they like? You know, it's not always what you like. You've been in those relationships where it's all about the other person or it's all about you. Well, in our relationships with the Lord, we have to have that intimacy with him, because that is the only time we're going to be able to get filled up with this peace, because what's coming on the planet is not going to be peaceful. It's going to be shaken. And it's already occurring and we're already experiencing. And even though it seems like there's been a lull, it's like the quiet before the storm. And so I just want to encourage you that you are the ones, we are the ones that have to be the rock, that have to be the stability, the salt of the earth, because people are going to need us. They're going to come in such intense storms that they're going to need to wake Jesus up. Amen? And you're going to be the Jesus in their life. And you're going to have the power to speak to the storm and stop it. And I guarantee the disciples after that, they were looking at the Lord in a much different way. They were terrified. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you thought you were going to lose your life, drowning or whatever it might be. I'm sure we could swap stories. But that's a panicky place. That's a place of you're trying to just get some air. You're just trying to survive. It's not a place of peace. And so you have something inside. We have something inside of us that the world desperately needs. And one of the moves of God that I see happening on this earth is time and time again where God's children are going to people who are in the midst of intense storms, and they have the power and the ability by the Holy Spirit to reach out to them and to bring peace in their life. Not by a word, man's word, but the word of the Lord that is actually within them, and they release it. And that's kind of a preview, I think, of a lot of things that's going to happen to a lot of people in this room. I believe that with all my heart. You know, we're sent ones. We're sent into the earth. God knew us before we were formed in the womb. God knew that we'd even be here tonight, today. He knew that we were going to hear these words. He knew that he knew all those things. And so he brought us together as a gathering to prepare us for that, but to encourage us that you have within you, you have me inside of you. I want to move through you. I want to touch the world around you. I want to rescue people who are drowning. You know, if it wasn't for judgment, there'd be no reason for mercy. And so the judgment has already been going on this planet since the fall. It's not something that's, I mean, yeah, there's going to be more intensity, but it's already been judged. Judgment is already going forth. That's why mercy is needed. I'm talking about a true word of mercy. A mercy that carries the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus takes his disciples and he sits there and says, hey, where's your faith? And they turn around, they look at him, they said, now they were so afraid of losing their life that everything that they were, all their families, everything that they had, they felt they were going to perish. And he stops that storm and now they're afraid of him. You see, that is the biggest problem I see in the church, is that they are afraid of the power of God. And it really shakes me up. It's shook me up for a period of years. I've been doing this for years, and I just do not get it. Because if you have a relationship with God, yeah, God is awesome. And yeah, if he came here in a full manifestation, the floor would be too high. There's no question about that. I mean, we have the fear of God in us. But to know him and to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, like Paul talked about, that was his determined purpose, to know him more intimately. And so the more that you know the Lord, the greater the power of God becomes real inside of you. And you should have a greater appetite of seeing that release, because sometimes we're seeking God and wanting an experience and getting into the praise and the worship and all that is wonderful. And yes, we need to have all that. But you know what? There's another part to that. The desire to see the power of God needs to be understood within you. It's actually the desire to have it released through you to witness it. I'm more convinced that that's really what we're seeking. It's not to come to the meeting and see God move. It's to see his miraculous power come out from our midst. That's why Jesus said, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. It's not my water, it's his water. And that's got to be the objective of the body of Christ in these last days, as he positions you and me around individuals and peoples that need a touch from God. And so it changes our thinking a little bit, because rather than going to the meeting and the gathering to experience the presence of God, now we're going to people to experience the presence and the move of the Holy Spirit. I mean, I just imagine what it was like when Peter's walking up to the temple and that guy has been, you know, paralyzed since youth. He couldn't walk, and he comes up to him, and the guy wants some money, and he says, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have. And there, release the power of the Holy Spirit, and he sees this guy get up, and they're having church right there. That's the call of God on our lives right now. That's what the general is telling us to do. He's not telling us, hey, it's okay to come together and gather and be in our midst, but he's saying it's out there. It's like what Danny was sharing last night when he filled that guy's gas tank up. You know, I was in I was at the university when I first moved down here in 1982, and I was recently baptized in the Holy Spirit and still being refined, and I was driving along, and I noticed to the right, it was in the evening, and it was down right near off of Sumter Street. I'm going down there, and I noticed there's one of those, you know, party houses, like an animal house type thing, you know, and I was like, there's like a little field, and a big party there, and I'm like, I said, you know, I might want to go over there. So I get out, and I start walking across this field, and there's a girl just drunk as could be. And she's like, you know, she's crying, and I kind of say, what's wrong? Are you okay? And she says, I lost my keys in this field. And I'm like, Okay, and I'm sitting there, and all it had to be the Holy Spirit comes in my brain and says, "Well, I tell you, if I find these keys, will you believe in Jesus?" And she's looking at me. She comprehended what I'm saying. This is dark out. We didn't have cell phones. Didn't have a flashlight either. And I'm like, okay. Well, Lord, show me where the. I asked the Holy Spirit. I said, show me where the keys are. And I'm going out there, and all of a sudden, this tall grass is. Picked up the keys, said, here's your keys. And she said, oh, Jesus. There's so many people that are lost like that. They may not be drunk, but they're intoxicated with carnality. That's just as bad, maybe worse. Sometimes it's easier to minister to a drunk person because all their defenses are down. But I just want to encourage you that these storms are real. And then you got that Jonah storm, you know, that you got the people that are, you know, they're out of the will of God. They're running from the presence of God because they had a bad experience in church or, you know, this or that. But they have a call in their life. And, you know, you may be that person that stops them from committing, you know, going down the wrong way. You may be the one that stays in the way. You may be the fish that takes them to their destination. You know, it's not a good place to be, you know, where you're walking away from the presence of God, because see, that call of God doesn't get lifted off of us. It says his gift and callings are without repentance. If he puts something in a person's life and he sends them here, it means that he's been communicating. And some of you, maybe some people here today, maybe you haven't really taken up your cross all the way. Maybe you haven't given everything up yet. I know there's more things that I need to give up. You know, like I shared last night about Abraham. You know, Abraham was so committed to sacrifice his son that an angel had to call his name twice to stop him. It blows my mind. I can't get that out of my brain for the last month. It's just been going over and over again. And God said to Abraham, I see now that you won't withhold anything from me. And so it's a time to surrender. It's a time to give up and allow God to move into the compartments of our life that we've not yet yielded to him. But we don't do it out of like, well, I want to be perfect. We do it out of because there's such a hunger that's, I believe, caused by the Holy Spirit that he's stirring in his children right now to desire to see such a move of God to a world that desperately needs him. And it says in the scriptures that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end shall come. And it's not the gospel of the kingdom of tradition. It's not the gospel of the kingdom of nice ideas. It's not the gospel of the kingdom. It's his king. It's good news. It's power. The kingdom of God is power, and that's what you believe in. And I would submit to you to not sell yourself short. You have what it takes to carry out the mission on this earth. All we have to do is simply say, yes, sir. It comes into, it's like when the Lord was telling Danny to fill up that guy's tank. You know, I mean, I was listening pretty closely, but sometimes, you know, the ADD kicks in. And I couldn't figure out, I said, if the guy was in the gas station trying to pay for it, and I didn't know if you stuck your card and you started to fill it without him knowing about it.
I just put the card.
Oh, okay. I didn't know because I thought, well, my son would say, well, maybe it was diesel and you were filling it with the wrong gas. No, I was just going to say, because, you know, God honors that still. You ruined a guy's engine, but he honors you, you know. But the point I'm trying to make is that little thing, that's a demonstration of stepping out. And that's why it's so important that the evangelist must be released again to the body of Christ in a greater dimension. I am committed to that. I've invited one once a month in here. Receive that impartation of the evangelist, because the evangelist is always trying to get somebody saved. The evangelist is always looking for those types of opportunities. And we need to have that stirred up within us. We really do, because there's a fear that the enemy has encased around the body of Christ, or a lot of the body of Christ, to keep us back from simply just reaching out to people, from simply just to be sensitized, you know? And people need to have that. They're surprised by it, but it's always authentic because it doesn't make any sense. Like when Danny was sharing, it didn't make any sense. You paid for him and you don't even know him? You know, it makes them get short-circuited in their minds almost. They can't comprehend that someone would love somebody that they didn't even know enough to go ahead and pay for their gas. And so I just want to encourage you that you would leave here and leave these gatherings with that in your hearts, that you would truly reach out to people who are lost. Amen? Amen. I know I met you on the way in, but I've already forgotten your name. Michael, praise God. Michael the angel, amen. Resolute protector, amen. Amen. And God, you know, so many guys, that work of that protector, you know, you're a protector. You're the guy that stands up for the guy that's getting like the center of ridicule and, you know, they're about to get beat up or whatever, and you just slide in there and say, stop. You know, you defend the people who are weak. You know what I mean? And God has made you strong. In fact, there's an intelligence I see inside of you in the spirit that really is unique in a way because you're able to figure some difficult things out. You know, when somebody fills out a form, they don't know how to fill the form out, and you know, and you're the guy, you do this, 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 and this, and this, and time again, people come in front of you that don't know what they're doing. And that is your ministry of helps. And the ministry of helps is one of the most awesome ministries in the body of Christ, because they're constantly helping out people, and it's a reflex. And that's really who you are. No one has to spur you on to help somebody out. You see somebody on the side of the road, you're the guy that's going to come up and try to help them. And I just want to encourage you that in Jesus' name. But, you know, the enemy, that's why the enemy takes, that's why he's tried to rob you. I'm not talking about just money, okay? But he has tried to rob you. And I want to tell you something, brother. God is returning the things that have been stolen from you. Amen? Well, time and time again, it's like you weren't aware of it. So this is something you're aware of. We don't see an unseen realm sometimes, but there are unseen things trying to stop us. When we're doing acts of the Lord unknowingly because it's out of our heart. And there's something that God has developed within your heart that's an awesome thing. You don't even perceive yourself as super spiritual. But the acts, which Jesus said, hey, when did I feed you? When did I do this? When did I do, you know, when did I do this to you? He said, when you did it to the least of me, you did it unto me. And that is what you've been doing for a long time. God would encourage you in that ministry. You know, take a deep dive into the Word, because God has been stirring your spirit to know things are about to happen on the planet. You know, there's a hunger that I see God rising up within you to understand the events that are going on around the earth. And I just want to encourage you in that endeavor that God, I see a hunger just got raising up inside of you to really know the things that God is about to do. And I just see you just being able to dissect it. You know, the thing about it is, the scriptures have to be unlocked sometime by the Holy Spirit. And I just see you get in your Bible, and all of a sudden something's going to leap off the page. And then it's going to be, you're going to look deeper. And all of a sudden it stimulates you and your spirit man to do a deep dive into really understanding the Word of God in a greater measure. So I just want to encourage you in that, because the Word of God is a sword, but it has to be in our mouth. And we read it, and all of a sudden it comes alive with inside of us, and then it's released. I'm not calling you a preacher, so don't think you've got to come up and preach, okay? Amen? Amen? So I'm not trying to scare you with that, okay? But you are a preacher in the sense that you will exhort people, okay? And exhorting is something that you do out of your heart. It's not done because you feel like you have to. It's out of your heart. And that's what God looks at. And I just want to bless you in Jesus' name. You know, it says that God meets the desires of our heart. And there's a desire I see in the spirit in your heart that hasn't yet been met. And God says, I'm going to meet that desire beyond what you could ask or even think. And so however you're thinking and however you're asking, it's going to be much better than that. Amen? And I'm a little bit hesitant. I don't like to put time stamps on stuff, but I do want to say that I see that happening within a year. Amen? I'm not going to publicly say what it is, but I will tell you that I see it within a year. So just hang on, man. Amen. You come back and talk to me. If it didn't happen, then bring a rock. Amen? Praise the Lord. I think I got one more, and then I'll shift off here. Amen. Who is that? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Some come in here. Amen. So at my roofer, amen. God is so good. Congratulations on the children and babies and all that stuff. And you guys got it going on. Amen. God is so good. It's good to see you both. Amen. You know, the thing is, I see a God really doing a real work in you, Luke, in terms of, like, it's not God has really blessed the business, but it's like in anything else, you know, when you do a business, you know, cash gets real tight at times, you know, and you're trying to shift this and shift that, and I just see the Lord bringing a supply into your life to be able to handle a greater measure. And, you know, the thing is, you know, you start something out and you do it all yourself, but then what the Lord says one day, okay, I want you to be more of a general and delegate. You know, so you got more time to do this and do like that. I don't know if that's been in your spirit or if you've even thought about that, but I really think that's a target that God is giving you right now, because he wants you to not just enjoy your family, but he wants to free you up a little bit, okay? And so you can get more of a focus on really what God wants you to do, because you got a call in your life. I keep calling you young man because you look so young to me. I don't know how old you are, but you just still look so young. You got that face, amen? And I just want to encourage you to stay like that. But I just want to encourage you. I really see the Lord really doing a real work in your life. I see your home being used as a place of healing. I see people coming where they're hear the word of the Lord, and a word comes out of you, because there's a shepherd that's inside you. Yeah, you have a business, but there's a shepherd that's inside of you. Amen. And I just see it's a home group or something along those lines. But I see people coming to your house and really being blessed. And I see the word of the Lord coming through you, and the word of healing. And God is going to draw people around you that are in desperate needs. I see an individual right now in the spirit that God needs just a touch from God. You know, they're not right in their mind. It's like their mind's kind of confused. And I just see you just bring a word of healing to them, bring a peace and a spirit leaving that individual. You know, you have power in the Holy Spirit that you haven't yet drawn on. And I know that, you know, we got kids, a big distraction, but there's something inside you has not yet drawn on. It's a power within you that God wants to move through and touch other people. And you're going to get the overflow of that, you know. Sometimes when I give out a word, I get the overflow. I like that word. I want that word for me, because I receive that. But you're going to get the overflow of the healing that comes through your body. There's an activation that God is going to be doing in your life in this next year, and it's going to change, because the enemy has tried to attack your house. He's tried to pressure it. I just see a pressure coming down on that house, and I break that in the name of Jesus Christ today. There's going to be a liberty. It's like an open heaven, and you're going to notice the difference. Like the atmosphere has changed, amen? And the air is much more pure, and so in this, the pressure is going to lift off, because there's no pressure in Jesus. There's no pressure. When God puts something together, it's a lot easier, but when I try to do stuff, man, it's hard. It's difficult. I mean, I know that it's not the Lord, because I can sense that there's not a peace when I'm doing it. And so that I look for that peace. It's not, I'm talking about the world's peace. I'm talking about the Lord's peace. There's a difference. The world's peace is finite. You know, something can go real smooth for a while, and then when it doesn't go smooth, now my peace is gone. The peace of God has enduring power. It's eternal. It lasts. And that's the peace of God I see God releasing in your house and in your ministries. And the Lord just blessed their children in Jesus' name. I love looking at them on Facebook. Great pics, amen, and beautiful family. And man, you look young. Doesn't he look young? Are you in your 20s still? Huh? 38. 38, oh my gosh. He's ancient. Amen, amen. Oh, come on closer. Come on, come.
Bring this side in. Even if you go to go, not a huge circle, just a tight. Think we're together. Okay? If you want to, you can. That's fine. That happens in a lot of places. Come on in. Come on, Andrew. I got a seat for you right here. Come on. Now, let me explain to you why I'm doing this. Grab the Redefining Church book for me. Just get me a Redefining Church. Yeah. So last night I talked a little bit about the other book. I pastored for many years. And I've never stopped pastoring. I've never quit. Man, we got like rows that are empty. Whatever. I'm not going to make you move. I'm not that religious. But I want you to understand something. The early church, and historically until Constantine, that was in 300 something, the church never met like this. Paul actually, the reason he wrote the verse, he said some are of, they would say, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of Christ, was because they were functioning under a Greek understanding. And what that meant is it meant there is a, you have an audience and you have an orator, somebody who can speak, the best speaker. And it was never the intention of the Lord, never the intention of God when he established his church. I keep telling people, they say, well, are you against the church? I said, no. But I said, I'll tell you what I am for. I'm for the church he planted, not the church men, movements, denominations have planted. I want to be a part of what he was doing because what he did was powerful. But you cannot find Rose sitting anywhere in the Bible, anywhere, Old or New Testament. You cannot find it. You cannot find the crowd mentality that we have. And what happens is it changes who we are when we're close. I mean, it's going to be really hard because we're going to do something that you're going to have to be close enough to somebody else in order for this to happen. So for some of you, you're way too far from people. You'll realize this later and you're like, well, I guess I have to move now. But it's a powerful thing. It's the release of the Holy Spirit with power. That we're going to see some things happen today. We're going to see healings happen today. There's going to be a release of His Spirit today. I don't waste my time. I'm not here just to breathe words on you. I'm here because I'm on a mission. I mean, this mission is only began basically last night. I guess Wednesday we had a small gathering out at Julia's, but I'm tonight, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night I'm in Augusta, Monday night I'm in up near Greenville, and then I'm in Cleveland, Tennessee, and then I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, and then I'm in Atlanta, and then I'm in the Moravian Falls, nonstop for the next week. I am not here. I'm not here grazing on the body. I'm not looking for offerings. I'm a sent one, not an invited one. Now, Todd is the only one who actually invited me. He said, will you do this conference? I said, sure. None of the others did I get an invite, none. Because I'm a sent one. I called, I said, I'm coming. Because I have a word, I have a message that God wants to release on the body of Christ. And one of the things that happens is you have to rethink, what should the church be? I love the church. I love believers. I love hanging. They come into my house. And there have been meetings we've had. There have been meetings we've had with 8 people. That's the smallest one. But there are meetings we've had with 150 and 200 people in my house. We're literally 4 rooms where we have speakers in my house, because so you can hear it in the other rooms, where people have been in the hallway, where they've been in the mud room, which you don't have down here, but maybe you do. If you're a farmer, you understand that. But in the kitchen, up the steps. And there's something that happens in that environment that can never happen in an audience speaker mentality. And so it really excites me to do this. And I have done this around the world. We did this in Africa in a very staid kind of seeker-friendly church in Africa that I got invited to. And I said, oh good. I said, we're gonna mess you up. We want you to think differently. We want you to move out of your seats and come on, crowd in. And I had a bunch of people sitting on the floor. They were just like, the kids were like, come on, let's do this. The Holy Spirit moved. It was very powerful. In fact, I think, Michelle, were you on that trip?
No.
And Helen was. Yeah, Helen and Julia. I want to, so anyways, this book, if you bought it, too late. No, sorry. This is actually, this is a shooting gallery of sacred cows. It will mess with you, I promise you. Most people who've read this book have had to read it a few times. Because there are things I do based on historical Christianity and what Jesus intended. Like in the early church, if a speaker came, an apostle or prophet is what they called them, if they came to you and they asked for money, they were considered a false prophet. If they wanted to have a love feast, that's fine, but they weren't allowed to eat at it. But if they came to serve, they should be taken care of. And it's these are literal quotes from, one of them was the Shepherd of Hermas, the other one was what's called the Didache or the Didache, and they're powerful. But there's other things that are so, I don't know if I should say that one. Okay. There are things that we have brought into church systems and into the church system that have nothing to do with what God has intended. Nothing. Dare I say it? I'll say it. And that I'll say it because we have hundreds and even thousands of people who relate to me, kind of as a whatever, you know, a leader, a papa, whatever, of Mo. And people say to me, will you be our covering? I go, no. I don't believe in coverings. The Bible doesn't believe in coverings. There's no teaching, no ability to teach about a covering. God is our covering. And it's like, oh, but then you're unaccountable. Oh, my gosh, no. I promise you. There are people who will smack me down pretty quick. I have fathers in my life. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But the reality is what happens is that we have assumed this notion. And that somehow by assuming a place of they're my covering, then I will get their anointing. No, you won't. That's why you can go to, pick your favorite movement, I don't care. But you'll go to the main base and you go, whoa, that's incredible. And then you'll go to one of the other ones, you kind of go, yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same. Even though they're doing everything, the anointing is not the same. Why? Because maybe God hasn't called them to just simply try and be what somebody else is. We're going to talk about that too. And so there is this vast insecurity in the body of Christ to speak truth. The most significant texts, emails, responses on Messenger or in my things are, man, you just speak truth boldly, bluntly. That's why I live. I have been captured by Jesus. I'm not allowed to tell you garbage. There are better words than that, but I won't use them right now. There is stuff that's taught that is trash. And people, most of the time, those things are used in manipulative ways to control crowds and control your flock. That you've got this flock, they're your sheep. I believe I am a Holy Spirit supernatural terrorist. My job is to go into the middle of God's people and pull the ripcord and blow them up and so they get out. My job is to equip people. I'm to become redundant. I should, in some places, I went to Atlanta. I am going to be there this next weekend. But in Atlanta, the Lord spoke to me early. He said, I want you to go here every two times a month. I said, okay, I'm coming here two times a month. And I just poured in. And I have become redundant. They don't really need to hear me anymore. Why? Because I've taught them what I know. I don't. The reality is of those who are equippers, you are supposed to expend it all, not try and develop a whole entourage of people that aren't doing anything. We're finding out that the ones that God really has called to function with us are people who are carrying now their own ministries. They're doing their own stuff. Why? Because that is the key to what we're called to do as equippers. If we're equipping, then people are doing. If people aren't doing, we're not equipping. We're fostering and fostering a crowd. So I deal with, that's just one of the things I deal with. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in here. But basically, they're just a lot of sacred cows in the body of Christ that we think, well, this is good, this is fine. But it's not. Who would like this one? You got it. I saw that hand first. I see that hand. Actually, I should do something else with you. Ready? Well, it's okay. You already got it, but no, you are going to get it. But I normally say, who wants this? And I just hold it. And the first person to get it will get it. Because in the kingdom, it's not manners that will get the attention of the Lord. It's go, run. We had a conference in Virginia Beach. This was in 2007. And the woman who was running the conference basically came to me. She said, have you heard about this and this that's coming here? They're calling for a hurricane. And it's going to wipe out in Virginia Beach. I said, yeah, it's not happening. She says, how can you say that? And I said, the Lord said, for you, he's not going to bring that. He's not doing that. He says, you mean you're telling all these prophets you're wrong? I guess I am. I said, but he loves you too much. And he said, things are just beginning here. So anyway, so that was the first thing. Well, then later in that conference, it was crazy because we were doing that. We had DVDs and basically it was the same thing. I was holding it up and two people ran up at the exact same time and both of them grabbed the DVD. And we have this on video. It multiplied.
Oh, sweet.
No. It became two?
It became two.
Wow.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. God will release the miraculous to the hungry. Amen. People are like, I want to see a miracle. Jesus won't show it to you. You know how you see miracles? I know. I've seen way over 100 people come out of wheelchairs or off of walkers or whatever. I've smelt metal burning out of people's body. I've got some metal myself right now, so if that begins happening, forgive me. I'll just take 10. But there's something about the presence of God for the hungry. And I've never seen somebody come out of a wheelchair from a distance just observing. I've only seen it when I went to them and I pulled them up, and there have been plenty I picked up and had to put back in the wheelchair. I'm not saying that's not true either. But I never saw the first one until I went up and said, you want to walk? Okay, we're going to pray, and then we're going to walk. And wow, we had 5 happen in Brazil in 2 sessions, back to back. And that was so cool. That was so cool. We had this precious woman, but quite filled with a lot of religiousisms, and you know, she knew all the phrases. She knew how to pray by phrases. She'd learn glory to God and hallelujah, and this is what the Lord says, and da da da. And she's praying all these verses and stuff. And I realized, man, this person in the wheelchair is just like, this is not working. And so I just went up. I just said, hang on a second. And I said, would you like to come? Would you like to get out of the wheelchair? And of course, this was through translator. And they said, yes. I said, okay, good. I said, just wait. And I knelt down, and actually surprise came over at the same time, and we just prayed over them. And And I said, you ready? He said, okay. So we picked him up, had somebody else help him as well. And we just beginning to walk. This is a guy who had been in that wheelchair for 14 years. His wife had never seen him walk. And, it gets better and better every step he takes, and it's way cool. And at the end, the worship team was playing, and I just walked him up to his wife, and they danced together. Oh, no. It was so cool. It was just incredible just to watch Jesus healing them. And they videoed them. We have the full video of that one. Sometimes people just don't even realize it. You're watching it, you go, oh my gosh, I should get this on video. It's like, sometimes you just don't, because you're so, it's the awe of God. It's where you cry. When you see a real miracle, you'll cry. Yeah. You'll cry. You'll realize God is here. Wow. Nobody's doing this but Jesus. So anyways, there are things like that that are that God wants in our lives that look like Jesus. You know, many people don't like the church, but they love Jesus. Now, if you've grown up in the church and you become familiar with all the church protocols and all that stuff, you just become accustomed to it. And so sometimes it dulls you. It dulls you to the reality that Jesus is alive, man. He wants to do stuff. You know, we've had stories in Connecticut. There's this one guy, I only found out like 2 years ago. There's this one guy who, he comes and, you know, and I see him there. And I just went over and sat behind him and just began praying for him. And as we began praying, he began shaking and began coughing. And a demon was coming out of him. And, it was just happening. It was very cool. And his name's Peter. And as we prayed for Peter, he, he kind of became a part of everything that we were doing. And but you could tell he was not from a Christian background at all. And one day he said, I said, Peter, how did you get saved? And he said, well, he said, you came up to me at a gas station about 6 years ago. And I went, what? He said, yeah, you came up to me and you said, hey, can I pray for you? And I said, no, I don't want you to pray for me. I'm okay. And he said, as soon as we left that gas station, I looked at my wife and I said, I should have let that guy pray for me. Well, this guy would go through tragedy in his life. I mean, a lot of stuff. Anyways, one of our people met him. He was reading a satanic book in a Starbucks, and he's... my friend Stephen was there, and he's a Jewish dude, totally Jewish. This guy's Jewish. He's my rabbi. But that was funny, but not to you. But he just began sharing Jesus with him. And he said, why don't you come to this group with me? That's when we met Peter. We had no idea. And that there's something about cultivating a lifestyle that releases the boldness of the Lord. Turn your Bibles to 1 Kings 13, I think. It might be 2 Kings. Let me just look. Yeah, 1 Kings chapter 13. There's some stuff I want to talk about, and probably will tonight. I want to talk about how to make a prophet. PH, not F. But I want to talk about way beyond that. I want to talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but I want to talk about the fivefold gifts of the Spirit. And I share it much differently than a lot of people. I can just tell you, if you speak in tongues, if the Holy Spirit has come on you and you speak in tongues, every single one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit are active in your life. You just have not released them. If you can speak in tongues, you can prophesy, you can have faith, there can be miracles. And just like you can speak in tongues, shikarabasatak, just like that, the gifts can flow through you. That simple. And most people have, it's like, well, yeah, we all speak in tongues, you know, we're filled with the Spirit in that way. But no, we've never operated in power. And it's like, yo, same one who is giving you that gift is there with all those other gifts. But there's some other things I want to share with that as well. So, because there's some things God wants to activate inside of you that you've never been activated. And the first thing that I've realized we have to come against is something called insecurity. Insecurity is the biggest destroyer of God's people. Unbelievable. I'm not good enough. The church has historically moved into new things of God by thinking differently. I'm going to give you some names. You ready? You might know, recognize some. Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Wesley, George Whitefield, Charles Finney, D.L. Moody, Omar Cabrera, John Wimber, Bill Hybels, Roland Heidi Baker, Bill Johnson. Every single one of these decided not to do it the same way. Every single one of them decided they would not do ministry the way somebody else did. That they would come in empty-handed and say, God, where do you want to lead me? What do you want to do? We're ready to do it. We can do it on the street. We can do it under a tree. We can do what do you want, God? And it was that the Lord gave to us. When Karen and I moved from North Carolina, I said, Lord, what are you taking us to? And he said, it's mine. He said, the mountain is mine. And he said, you will never own it because it's the mountain of the Lord, which is the kingdom of God. And then I said, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. And he said, that's perfect. In fact, the first conference we ever had, 2005, over in Lexington, Red Bank. In that conference, Surprise looked at me, and we had 1,000 people show up, man. We were a small group of 8 people on a good night, maybe 12, you know, when the friends came and the dogs. But we just didn't have many people, and the Lord says, do this conference, and we have 1,000 people show up. And Surprise was the first speaker, and he looks at me and he says, do you know why God's blessing you? I said, I have no idea. He said, it's because you don't know what you're doing. And then he gave us an encouragement. He says, don't ever learn how. So we learn to become comfortable with awkward, with the place we don't know what we're doing. We have no clue. We're not, in fact, when we find out we know what we're doing, we change it. We bring ourselves back to that place of uncomfortability because we recognize that it's there, that God moves over the chaos of Genesis. He broods over that which is formless and void. That there's something that causes a great hunger, even a frustration. God, we need your presence because we don't know what we're doing. Later on, when, you know, we had to become legal, the Lord asked me a question. He said, Danny, what are constitution and bylaws? I said, well, it's legal. He said, yeah, but what are they for? I said, I don't know. They're legal. He said, they're written to prepare for my absence. He said, if my presence is not there, let it die. Yeah. Huh. But see, today you couldn't do that. Today, there's too many who are like, no, we can't let this die. We got to keep this sucker rolling. Yeah. And so we got to generate the money. We got to generate everything to be able to keep the building, keep everything going. And people will sustain it with 4 or 5 people or 20 people in a mega facility that was like stupid. Huh. And the whole focus becomes money generating. How are we going to get the money to do this? And the Lord just said, don't ever go there, man. Don't go there. He said, let me lead it. Let me do it. Let me have it. And so that's what we've done. We've just let the Lord do it. We have not, we don't hype. We don't promote. We're not looking for people to join us. We don't have membership. People freak out, you don't know. Do you take offerings? Actually, no. In our conferences, we take offerings, only time. And that's just because we're giving the money to the speakers that we fly in and tickets and all that stuff. But generally, once a year, we'll tell people how they can give. That's all, just matter of fact. But God has taught us to teach people to be grown-ups and adults. We're not called to babysit them. That if they don't understand the value of giving, that's on them. They'll deal with the ramifications of that. But if they understand what that is, in growing in maturity, they'll go, oh my gosh, we'll just be responsible with that. Anyways, so the church has historically done this. First Kings, I love this. Okay, gonna deal with some insecurity today. Anybody ever feel insecure?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's where you're looking at the, well, it's in the story. By the word of the Lord, a man of God came from Judah to Bethel. As Jeroboam was standing by the altar to make an offering, by the word of the Lord, he cried out against the altar, "Altar, altar, this is what the Lord says. A son named Josiah will be born to the house of David. On you he will sacrifice the priests of the high places who make offerings here, and human bones will be burned on you." That same day, the man of God gave a sign. "This is the sign the Lord has declared. The altar will be split apart, and the ashes on it will be poured out." Now, he is coming in front of a king who is pro all the ones he's talking about. Okay? This is like, these are his prophets. Those priests were the ones he was listening to. And he's basically saying, yep, they're all going to be killed by this guy Josiah, who's going to be born. And in fact, they're going to be burned. It's just a pretty harsh word, you know? When King Jeroboam heard what the man of God cried out against the altar at Bethel, he stretched out his hand from the altar and said, "Seize him!" But the hand he stretched out toward the man shriveled up so that he could not pull it back. Also, the altar was split apart and its ashes poured out according to the sign given by the man of God by the word of the Lord. So this altar has ashes in it from all the sacrifices. And literally that thing split apart and all the ashes are everywhere. There is, and the king is upset. He stretches out his hand. Literally, there's a negative miracle, if you will. Okay, this would happen to Paul. Elymas, you're going to be blind. Or was that Peter? But there were a few occasions. Peter was Ananias and Sapphira. There are negative miracles as well. Okay? So, then the king said to the man of God, "Intercede, pray, pray, pray with the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored." So the man of God interceded with the Lord, and the king's hand was restored and became as it was before. Pretty cool. Reversed the negative curse. That's pretty awesome. And the king said to the man of God, "Come home with me for a meal, and I will give you a gift." Now listen to this. But the man of God answered the king, "Even if you were to give me half your possessions, I would not go with you, nor would I eat bread or drink water here. For I was commanded by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water or return by the way you came." So he took another road and did not return by the way he had come to Bethel. For people who know the Lord, really know the Lord, I'm not talking about people who call themselves Christians because they prayed a prayer. Am I being blunt enough? Many people just, they said the words. Nothing changed. Right. Do you know how you can tell?
Nothing changed.
There's fruit in their life. If there's no fruit, we're actually allowed to ask, you know, that question. Is there fruit in your life? Something happening. You know, what is it that God's doing in your life? Is there anything God's doing in your life? Or did you just say that prayer and basically now you feel like, well, you're going to heaven, and so you're good to go. But there's something more. For us as Christians who know the Lord says, I don't want you to do that. We go, I will not do that. But for those who are living in a compromised situation, they're going, this dude's going to give me some money. He's going to bless me. That's awesome. Yep, I'm going to take it. This is the Lord's provision for me. Okay? Most Christians would say no, particularly because he was a pagan king. He was not a man of God. Now there was a certain, verse 11, now there was a certain old prophet living in Bethel. I like this one. So this is an old prophet. He's somebody who is probably today, he would have been all over whatever programs you like. He would have been on YouTube. He would have had maybe 50, 60 books. He's got, you know, people are signing into his training courses, everything else. He's an amazing prophet. He's seasoned. He comes in and he's guarded where people can't even get to him. He's just well known. And it's like, no, they'll just bother him. But he's very well known and very, you ready for this? Very godly. And it says his sons came and told him all the man of God had done there that day. They also told their father what he had said to the king. Their father asked them, which way did he go? Immediately what comes on this prophet is, man, I have been looking for somebody to mentor. This looks like a legitimate guy. This is a legitimate miracle. This is the kind of person I want to find. I want to find somebody who's moving in power already. It's a big training curve to get people from no miracles to some miracles. It's a training curve. Let me tell you something. The first time you're told, yeah, we're going to go get this guy out of a wheelchair. And I mean, I have some guys that go, really? Yeah. Pick the hard ones. Pick the hard miracles. Because that's where you get the miracles. You got to pick the hard ones. And they look, I mean, I literally, and we've had some that we've had to put back in their chairs. God didn't do anything. So, you know, you have that. There's this, is it going to happen? Is it going to happen? What's going to... And you're a little insecure. So you find somebody who's moving in, it's like, dude, first part, this problem has been solved for you. You know? It's like, we're good to go. Let's go. And so he's looking at this young prophet and going, this is a legitimate guy. And he said, which way did he go? And his son showed him which road the man of God from Judah had taken. So he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. And when they'd saddled the donkey for him, he mounted it and rode after the man of God. He found him sitting under an oak tree and asked, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am, he replied. So the prophet said to him, come home and eat with me. What would you do if somebody really godly, your favorite whatever, YouTube hero, the people who are moving in great power, you see them, they're very well known, their integrity is up, it's good, and they say to you, look, are you the man of God who came from Judah? I am. So the prophet said to him, come home with me and eat. The man of God said, I cannot turn back and go with you, nor can I eat bread or drink water with you in this place. I've been told by the word of the Lord, you must not eat bread or drink water there or return by the way you came. He tells him exactly what he told the king. He said, I can't do that, man. He understands what the Lord said. He confirms what the Lord has said, even to somebody who is way above his ranking, if you will. And I'm just using that term. There's not really that ranking thing. But in his mind, there is. In his mind, this is the man of God, man. This is the prophet in Israel. This is incredible guy. This is a major leader. And he's saying to come home. Listen what happens next. The old prophet answered, I too am a prophet. He goes like, I know, as you are. And an angel said to me, by the word of the Lord, bring him back with you to your house so that he may eat bread and drink water. And this is the saddest verse. But he was lying to him.
Why would he lie to me? I never got that.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because people lie to get what they want. He's looking for a replacement.
He should have been the one confronting the king.
Yeah. But well, that's a good thought too. But the reality is that, listen, I don't care who the person is. I don't give a rip.
Come on.
I do not. A full year before Obama was elected, I was traveling, I was on the plane, went into, and I had a dream. And in the dream, the Lord says, yeah, the next president is not who you're thinking. I go, really? He goes, no, you need to think more Middle Eastern. I said, oh, is it Barack Obama? This is all in the dream. And he said, it is. And I was flying into an area which is extremely prophetic. And all the prophets go there a lot. And I remember standing in the conference and saying, yep. I said, this is going to be the next president. And ooh, some of those prophets got angry with me. They said, you're wrong. I said, no. I said, I'm going to declare what the Lord said. I'm not somebody who is allowed to give my opinion. I have to give what the Lord says. That's it. I do not live based upon people's accolades. I don't give a rip. I mean, you know, I stand before the Lord. And one day I'm going to have to give an answer for what I said to people before the Lord. I don't care if people don't like me. I don't care if they don't like my words. I don't care. I have to respond to the Lord. And people go, man, that's just, you don't care. You don't have compassion. It's like, well, I care about you. I'm not saying that. I care about you. I love people. But if God tells me to say something and it's rough, a year and a half ago, a couple people in here know this story. I was driving to go minister in a church, and the Lord came into my car. Now, for some of you, I'm not going to go into all the details. I've had a number of visitations with Jesus. But this one was different. And he's sitting in my seat, and he begins talking to me. We're going to call the guy Ray, okay? And he said, I need to talk to you about Ray. I said, what? He said, it's serious. He said, I'm ready to bring him home. I said, why? He said, he's taking money that he's raised for missions trips and other things, and he's gambling it. And he's been with women. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to deliver this word. I called him, I delivered the word, and on the phone he, quote unquote, repented. You know, at times there were tears. It would eventually, he just went down, down, down. Everything was horrible. And one day I looked at him, I said, you know, Ray, I said, I'm not even sure you're saved. And he said, well, then pray with me right now. Pray with me right now. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to pray with you, Ray. I said, that's not how it works. I said, you need God. I said, you know how to pray. What to say in those ways. And watching somebody go from where he was to where he is now, it has been one of the hardest things in my life. But I'm not allowed to not do that. I'm not allowed to not say what the Lord says. I'm not allowed. He says things and we obey. And so here we have this prophet lying. See, if you know God's spoken something to you, he's spoken it to you. He's given you vision. He's given you purpose. He's shown you, I want you to go here. I want you to do this. Surprise shared the story with me a number of years ago. There was a prophet who went, and I think this guy was actually in Mozambique when this happened. But he went to the guy Oh, I'm sorry, no. This was in... Nigeria, next to Nigeria, I'm trying to think of the name of the country, but it was up there. And this prophet came and said, you are supposed to go, and he knew it already, just from inside, you are supposed to go to this place and go start a church there. But he didn't like the place, did not want to go there, had no desire to go there, and so he didn't go. Eventually he became... he got sickness in his body, eventually became crippled in many ways. And the prophet came back. This is like probably 7 or 8 years later. The prophet comes back and looks at him and goes, well, what happened with that word? He says, I didn't go. And he said, I can't now because physically I'm just, his body was a mess. And he looked at him and he said, you better go. He said, you better get people to carry you there. Literally, they had to carry him. You need to get people to carry you there and begin. He said, or you're going to die. They carried him to that area. And as soon as he got there, he got out of the vehicle he was riding in, and he could walk. And everything started to come back. He literally built the single largest church building in the world.
Did he stay crippled?
Massive. What's that? No, he was completely healed. They built a hospital. See, nobody lived there. It was just remote. They built a hospital. They built grocery stores. They built their bank. They built an entire city in the middle of nowhere as a result of one person's finally becoming obedient. He goes on really quickly. The man of God said, I can't do this. And the old prophet said, I'm a prophet. And he lied. So the man of God returned with him and ate and drank in his house. While they were sitting at the table, the word of the Lord came to the old prophet who had brought him back. And he cried out to the man of God who'd come from Judah. Now the guy becomes prophetic. See, sometimes the Lord speaks to you and you're wanting to hear a word from somebody. The Lord says, what's wrong with my voice?
No.
I have a story with that in just a second before we move into this next thing. This is what the Lord says. And here's the word. Are you ready? Why did you stick a twig up God's nose? That's the word. Why did you stick a twig up God's nose? It's repulsive. It's so offensive. And he says, this is what the Lord says. You have defied the word of the Lord and have not kept the command the Lord God gave you. You came back and you ate bread and drank water in the place where he told you not to eat or drink. Therefore, your body will not be buried in the tomb of your ancestors. When the man of God had finished eating and drinking, the prophet who had brought him back saddled his donkey for him. And as he went on his way, a lion met him on the road and killed him. And his body was left lying on the road with both the donkey and the lion standing beside it. It's called, you lose your destiny if you do not obey what he tells you. And I've just realized it is better, it's actually better to be bold and miss it. Mm-hmm. Than to be, I'm going to use a couple words, ready? Cowardly, insecure. I'm not like that guy. I'm not as good as them. I don't measure up. It is better to be bold and go, you know, whatever. David Cora. David was actually the first guy I ever hired in the vineyard here. Do you know why I hired David? David was in the original startup of the vineyard that I did here in my house. And we're just worshiping, and in the middle of worship, the Holy Spirit was there. I mean, we had people leaving. They're, you know, like homeless guys, they go, man, God's in that room. I don't want to go in there. They could feel him. I mean, it was legit. And but David's in there, and he had just broken his arm, and it hadn't been cast yet. It was in a soft cast. And so he's in there, and in the middle of the meeting, he goes, "Oh my gosh, I think my arm's healed." And so he was so excited, you know. And so he takes it off, and as he takes it off, you see his face becomes white with pain, and he goes, "It's not healed." You know, see, he's in absolute agony and pain. And there were some nurses that were able to put it back together that happened to be there that night. But I went, "I'm hiring that guy." And he was the first one I hired. Because he was just, whatever, we go for it. He went with us on a trip to Slovakia. And, you know, we ride buses a lot over there. This was crazy. We're riding the bus, and he goes, "You know, I think my tongue might be this. It might be this." And I go, "Well, have you tried it?" He goes, "No, I'm going to do it today." So we are all riding on the bus from one ministry place to another ministry place. He stands up on the bus and goes, "What am I on?" And he's giving his tongue, and everybody's looking at him like, "What? Who is this crazy man?" I went, "I love him. I love him." There's something about, you know, that was David's mighty men. Man, we will go down into a pit on a snowy day and kill a lion with my bare hands. God's looking for some people who will go into a snowy pit on a cold day and go, "You know what? God's with me." Or like David. A giant, really? You're afraid of a giant? You're afraid of anything when the Lord's with you? The Lord is with you. And insecurity cannot be a part of your future. Not if you're going to accomplish what God has called you to do. People always ask me, they say, "You know, I'm hoping God will do this, and there was a word that I would do this, and nothing has happened yet." Let me explain to you how I literally began what I'm doing now. I was 25 years old when I planted the church here in Columbia at the Vineyard. But years later, went through all kinds of trauma. And when people say, "Oh, you haven't been through what I've been through," some people are like, "Man, there should be a movie on the things you've gone through. It's been insane, you know, all kinds of things." But whatever. But it was my lot. It was what God had me in. And you can become bitter, or you can realize God is strengthening you in powerful ways for what lays ahead. And so, in this process, I'm pastoring this church in Northeast North Carolina. We pastored one church, and then we planted another one. And I just reached a point of complete frustration. I just went, "This is not it. This is just not it." They were happy. They liked doing what they were doing every week. But there wasn't things that were really happening with a lot of people. I mean, we did crazy things there. We would take our worship team into nightclubs. We would be called by the nightclub owner, "Hey, somebody died. Would you come? Everybody's a mess in here. Would you come pray for everybody?" I mean, they were crazy things. When we went down to Crack Alley, we'd take people, including little girls, who you'd see these drug addicts running from. Because the presence and power of God was there. God was doing things. But I knew that at the end of the day, there was so much more. And that was when the Lord said, "Do you remember the mountain I showed you in 1987? He says, "Yeah, now you're going to see it." And he said, "I want you to go back to Columbia." And there were prophetic words or prophets who called me and said, "It's time for you to go." And we didn't know what we were doing. And God gave us we weren't allowed to plant. We were not allowed to do the standard church planting mode. And so there were about eight people who called me when I got here, and they said, "Can we just hang with you?" I said, "Sure. Don't even know what it is." Our Sundays were usually spent in a restaurant, messing with the people around us with words of knowledge and healing and stuff like that. And that was it. I mean, we just hung out together. We just became family and friends. Some of them are still in my life. Opie, who was here last night, was one of those originals. And so we learned, but through that, it was like the Lord just said, "Just follow me." And then when the Lord told me to begin traveling, I was like, how do I start that? And he just said, just start. Just start. Tell people you're coming. You have a word. When they ask what they're expected, when they'll ask you, what are our, what's the expectation from us? There are none. There are none. I just have a word to release. Wow. People go, okay. And some doors would open, some did not open. And we began going, and God began supplying. And I would pay for the tickets, and I would, there are many, many places we would go, and not, there was no money there. It wasn't about the money. See, this whole thing is not about money. People think, well, we need resources to do what God's called us to do. No, you don't. You are the resource. You have God inside of you. What more do you need than God in you? We build all these other infrastructures that we think are necessary for the move of God. No, none of it. None of it. You. You are revival. You are the awakening that is to come. You are the ones who are alive, full of the Spirit of God. You're the ones who carry the King everywhere you go. You're the ones who your very presence will mess up restaurants. You'll realize, I can't tell you how many restaurants, I'll go back in the kitchen. I'll be like, yeah, I got to talk to this guy here. Sometimes I'll forget, I'll leave, and I'll be like, hey, and everybody's getting in the car, and they're like, where'd Danny go? I went back in the restaurant because the Lord showed me a waiter or a waitress that I need to give something to. And you just become that kind of an individual. You recognize His kingdom. I'm seeking first the kingdom. I'm prioritizing the kingdom. I'm prioritizing what is important to you, God. It's not important we get home. It's important that we release you everywhere we are. Being late is not really a non-Christian thing. Jesus was late to every funeral he went to. He was late. He was late to Jairus' daughter. He was too late. It was too late. And so there's something about understanding the kingdom that doesn't fit the protocol of the modern day quasi-church. It doesn't fit the protocol. It looks different. It's a little messier. Why? Because we want to see the kingdom come. We want to see Him rule and reign. We want His power to be at work, both in people's lives, but in our lives as well. That I'm not satisfied with no power. I'm not satisfied. I want power. God's good, huh? Anybody want that? Yeah. We're going to pray right now. I want us to all hold hands. So now you know why I was going to have you all move. Now, I mean completely locked chain. So we need to all hold hands through the whole place. All through the whole place. Because we're going to lose something right now. We're going to release the kingdom on you. Wow. I want you to understand something. That person that you're holding hands with has the fullness of the Holy Spirit, God, inside of them. That person. That should open your heart to receive what is coming through them. Jesus said, interestingly enough, he didn't say pray for the sick. He said heal the sick. And interestingly, he didn't say that we need to spend time praying for people. He said, I want you to lay hands on people. We've muddled all kinds of things up to make it look spiritual, make it look good. But in fact, your touch is the most significant thing that you have. Huh? When the woman who grabbed the hem of his garment, Jesus felt virtue leave him. Learning how to release virtue through your life and go, man, I'm not keeping this. I'm releasing this. I'm going to give it away. God has more for me. There's more. Spirit of God's all over you. All over you. Let him come. Let him fill you up. There's a release. There it is. There's a release that God is going to do inside your life. You're about to have some incredible encounters with Jesus. And I loose that right now, all over your life, right now. I stir up hope. Oh, fulfillment. That the desires that you've had to be totally, totally messed up by God will be there. That there's going to be a release on your life. The Lord says the kindness and the compassion that you have, that's going to minister to so many people. The Lord says it's all over you. It's all over you. Just receive it. That he's going to overwhelm you with the presence, and you're going to touch many. You're going to touch many. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Lord, all through this place, Lord, that virtue will be released, that healing will be received, that virtue will be released, healing will be received, virtue will be released, healing will be received. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yeah. There it comes. There's another. Some of you are feeling things. You're feeling stuff in your belly. You're feeling, that's the Lord. That's just the Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, don't raise your hands when I say this, but there are several of you in here who have back issues, and right now you're going to begin feeling some stuff happening with your backs. Just, it's the Lord. Whether he's beginning or finishing something, it's the Lord. And so I loose that right now. Lord, fire in these backs, fire. That there'll be a release, Lord, of your holy healing in these backs. Lower, middle, even the shoulders, right now, I just release that. Shoo. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We receive from you, Lord. Wow. Yeah. You got a bunch of kids. And the Lord says that those kids are going to, I don't know you. I think Todd, did you say something about their kids? Did you say something about their kids? You didn't. Okay. You're going to have a ministry with so many young ones. I mean, so many young ones. And you go, what's that about, Lord? He said, you're going to raise a generation. They're going to follow hard after God. They're going to call you mom and dad. You're going to take what once was called orphans, people whose parents aren't around. And the Lord says, you will be a mom and a dad. You will speak into their lives. You will carry the riches of heaven into their lives. Shoo. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. And know your life is not your own. That's why you've had to make some decisions to move. That's why you've had to make some decisions to do what Jesus has told you to do. And the Lord says, it's okay. And he says, the moves that I have ahead for you are all me. They're all me. He said, it's going to go from glory to glory to glory. He says, don't worry about your families. And I'm not talking about your own kids. I'm talking about your families, because the Lord says, they're going to follow you. They're going to follow you. But there's an incredible call on your life. And the Lord says, get ready. Get ready. You've felt it. You've felt. Something's happening. Something new is happening in our lives. And it's a new step. And it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And it's all a part of this whole thing. And I loose that. Yeah. There's something that God's going to do in your wife. It's going to make you jealous. I mean that. I really mean that. To such a degree that you're going to chase God like you've never chased him. And God's going to meet you like you've never been met. I just loose that all over you. Yeah. 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 I want to know where you are in about 20 years. Yeah. Yeah. The Lord's good. It's incredible. He's almighty. He's almighty. Yeah. And he takes the things that we've had to fight through to live. But then he goes further and he heals even the impact and the effect of the healing that stole things from our lives. And I release that all over you. That healing will flood your body from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. That there will be things that God does that are brand new. Where the issues that have stolen aspects of your own life, where God is going to restore some things. You're going to go, this is impossible. This is impossible. I love the impossible God. I love the impossible God. I love the God who says, I do things you cannot imagine. And I release that, and I release all over your home. Boldness. Boldness. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Wow. Shoo. Lord, open up every airway. Open up everything, Father. Even the blood. Lord, I'm just asking for release all over your daughter of your presence. That's good. And then, Lord, we just ask for you to open the ears right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we release healing to the ears. We release healing to every part of your ability to breathe. And God restoring and taking away the sensitivities that have been there for years. Most of us live by diagnosis. We don't understand that in the Bible, God never diagnoses. You cannot find a diagnosis in Scripture. Because God doesn't diagnose, he only gives destiny. If you live from destiny, I don't give a rip what's happening in your body. Like God's not done with me. I don't know how we're going to get through this thing that's mustering problems, but we're not carrying the diagnosis. We're carrying the destiny.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, you guys, back behind Ken and Hope. This is Ken and Hope right here. Yeah, you guys. Yeah, Rave. Yeah. What are your names?
James and my wife Alicia.
Said James.
James and my wife Alicia.
James and Alicia. Yeah. Sure. I saw a dial. And the Lord, I guess you could think of like a gas stove. That's probably the best way to explain it. And it could be on low burn. But I saw the Lord putting it on high burn. That he turned that dial and he just said, there are things I've called you to. You need to step it up. That, you know, when you step it up, Because this is what the religious spirit does. The religious spirit actually, it uses the word caution. It tries to make the word caution seem godly. But in fact, they'll say caution is wisdom. But faith doesn't work by that. Faith actually works in the dark, not in the light. And so when people are cautious, it's because they want to see something more. And so they will never operate by faith, by seeing something more. Even when people ask, I need a confirming word. What you're doing is you're stepping out of faith and you're stepping into unbelief. It's true. And so we step into this place where, well, we just need a confirmation from the Lord. But the Lord has already spoken. And when the Lord speaks, you know, they said about Jesus, how could he cast out a demon with a single word? With just a word, cast the demon out. Because he had faith. Jesus functioned in faith. Now, when you have faith, you're not like trying to do it. It's like you're doing it. Here we go. That's how it works. And so I see the Lord turning this dial up in you guys. And he said, you're going to hit the ground running. And what God has spoken to you and called you to, and I see you ministering to many people. And loving them. And realizing God did this. We didn't do it. It was not our wisdom. It was not our logic. In fact, there are people who've spoken against some of the things that you know the Lord has spoken towards. And you must listen to Jesus and say, we're good to go. Here we go. Your own children will run with you. There will be a release on their lives of the power of God. That one daughter is going to be, wow, filled with fire. And I release that, and I release the worship that's on her life, and I loose all over you guys the fire of God, that you move according to what he says. Don't wait. Show. Yeah. Hope, I released a word last night to Ken that the residual healing, I saw the Lord healing you physically, that there were physical healings that were happening in your body, that God was going to restore things that you're like, wow. Things that you've accommodated, gotten used to, and said, I guess I'm just going to live with it. And the Lord says, no, you're not. Because there is still a call on both of your lives to do all that God spoke to you in the beginning. Sometimes God brings us full circle because he's trying to get us back to the exact same place where we were when we left what it was that God wanted us to do in the beginning anyways. Really, that's how it works. He's amazing. Yeah. The Lord says, get ready. Don't step away right now from this plow. He said, there's a multiplication coming. That's one of the words for this year, is multiply, multiply, multiply. The Lord says there's going to be multiplication like beyond your wildest imagination. Multiply. Everything. You know what you multiply? When you hear the word multiply, you don't just check out and go, okay. Multiplication, and that God's going to multiply. And most of us think, well, ministry. No, here's what it means. I'm going to multiply my giving. I'm going to multiply how many people I'm ministering to. I'm going to multiply. I'm going to increase things. It's amazing how God will allow all those things to fit into our life if we just go and say, let's do this. God's on us. Multiply this year in everything. Multiply. Yeah. I saw the Lord taking you into a place. Okay. No, you're fine.
Will it hear it from here?
Yes.
Yeah. You'll be fine. Because wow, you get extra effects. I like that. That's pretty cool. The Lord's going to take you to a place, a very, very intimate place with Him. It's actually going to shatter some things that have really come against you and hurt you in the past. And the Lord says that, and I mean, things that have happened in the church. And but I saw the Lord bringing a, what's the right word here? I can see it. A peace into everything about you. That you will realize, I don't have to try. That God's going to just meet me and lead me. And, you know, Todd shared the story about Jesus in the boat. The Lord gave me a revelation on that. Actually, it was for this year. Because this is the year where we are going to operate out of rest. Not out of vision, we're going to operate from rest. And it was Jesus in the boat. And He said, most of us, we've been taught, and we believe we're supposed to rebuke the storm. He said, actually, no. He said, you need to come down and lay down with Jesus in the boat. He said, that's why He was frustrated with the disciples. Because He'd already said, we're going across. And if Jesus could sleep, you can sleep. You hear, that's a word for you, by the way, for sleep. To be able to sleep. He gives sleep to His beloved. But there's something about laying in the boat. Think about that. What would have happened if all the disciples went, Jesus laying down? Dude, maybe we can just dream through this whole thing because He said we're going to the other side. Huh? One more. There are some massive suddenlies coming to your family. And that's what I heard. Massive suddenlies. Where God was about to release some things in you and in your families. I'm using that plural. Okay? That you prayed for, you've desired, but in some cases you've given up. And the Lord says it will be Him. And He'll begin marking some things and He'll say, this is a suddenly. He said, there's going to be healing here. There's going to be destiny here. There's going to be a recall here. And there's going to be a recoil here. That some who are coming against are going to back away. Some who are not following are following. That there's just going to be a whole release of suddenlies in your life. And you're going to go, look at all these things that have happened in our life suddenly over the past month and a half. And I just release that to you, that there's going to be some suddenlies. I saw the Lord and just His hand on you, just blessing you, just blessing your marriage, blessing your home, blessing everything about you. He is concerned about everything you are concerned about. But He's not concerned in the way we're concerned. He's concerned because of your concern. Because you have to understand that the things that the Lord has spoken about, both your lives and your family's lives, are yes and amen. Lay down in the boat and watch Him do it. Amen. Bless you guys. Yeah. Thank you for coming. Sorry I was so long-winded, wasn't I? Yeah, Todd's like, yeah, you were. Yeah. Good.
Thank you. It's always me. I'm sorry. Is that better? Sorry. Is it James? Is that James? I just want to give you a word of encouragement. Yeah, I know the Lord has really used you.
Is it on? Yeah. It is on. I'm on. Well, thank you for coming. I just want to reiterate my brother right there. What was your name? It's always me. I'm sorry. Is that better? Sorry. Is it James? Is that your name? I just want to give you a word of encouragement. You know, I know the Lord has really used you in some specific ways, but I really see your ministry expanding. You know, it says, you know, you hear that word increase on every side and on every hand, but your ministry is about to really expand. Your depth of influence is now being increased by the Spirit of the Lord. And you know, you've ministered before in ways that people really didn't hear you, but now they are, because it's almost like your word is now becoming current. It's almost like you're ahead of your time. And so just understand that, and you're gonna be like, I've been saying that. That's gonna be one of the things that keep coming out of your sudden. Yeah, you have been saying that, but now is the time. You know, living ahead of your time is only because you pressed in. It says a kingdom suffers violence and the violent men take it by force. And you know what it is to press into something. You know, when difficulties come your way, you're not one that turns around. You want to solve them, but you also will press into them, and you'll press into God. And that is something that you've learned over a period of years. That needs to be taught to people that are around you. And so that's why your ministry is being raised up right now, because people need to be taught how to press in. But it can't be just someone just talking about it because they learned about it in the Bible. It's someone that actually walks it out, and you have walked it out. I don't know if you have a natural brother, but I'm seeing a brother in your life that is just, I mean, I just see God almost like a rescuing. You know, it's like somebody heading in a bad direction and they're just being jerked right on back. And I just see God doing that. I don't know if it's something that you've been interceding for. God's not giving me specifics, but I just want to encourage you that your prayers are heard. And you know that. But also too, you guys are married, right? I have to say that, because I've made I thought somebody was somebody's son once, and they were married. This was in South Africa. You can't tell anybody's age over there. I mean, but anyway, I assumed you were, okay? But I just want to say, there's such a blessing upon your marriage. God has just really anointed it. And it's gotten so much better, and it's just going to get even better. And God has given you the language to speak to her, and God has given you the ears to hear him. And it's something about, and what God has taught you in your relationship, it's going to be ministering to other people as well. You do have a ministry to married couples, by the way. And that's why you're going to see some very troubled waters in people's lives. And it looks like it's just going to blow up. It's not. So just know that your prayers and the wisdom, and it really looks like it's just going to just explode. That's when God is going to move and bring unity. And, you know, sometimes I was sitting here last night, and my wife's grandmother passed as we were sitting here. And she was, you know, obviously upset. And I usually turn my phone off, and my phone went off, and I looked, and I said, oh. So, and I was hoping that hers didn't go out, hers went off. And so anyway, but her grandmother was really old, okay, and she, you know, her body was racked, she needed to go. But the thing about it is, her grandmother's passing was key to bring a unity. Mm-hmm. And what looked like tragedy sometimes brings unity. And you're going to see a situation just like that, where a couple is about to explode, but because of a tragedy or an incident, they're actually going to come back together. Allow that to be judged in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. We'll see you tonight, and don't worry about rearranging the chairs or anything, because I don't know. I don't know. We're good. Yeah.
Okay.
Do you need help?
I got it. Thank you. If I'm on the floor, I need help.
Grace will get up. Grace will win. I was going to write a check for your ministry gratitude.